Welcome to the Off the Road Again podcast. I'm Chris.
I'm Ross.
I'm Cabot.
Sweet. This is our podcast about anything and everything off-road. We finally get to talk about rally cars again. I normally preface rally cars are coming because so much of our stuff is like Jeeps, Overland, off Land Cruiser, Toyota stuff. But like, no, it's rally cars again tonight. So as always, we're socially distanced. The only way we can do the podcast, Ross and I still haven't been in the same physical space, which is hilarious to people. I'm in the Midwest, Ross is in the Northeast, and Cabot's in Nevada. So like, we're back out. We're a cross-country podcast is really how we...
yeah.
That is it most of the time. So tonight's news is that Land Rover did something silly for James Bond stuff.
I don't think it's silly. I mean, you could have conversations up and down about the movie tie-in things, you know, especially with like the bullet cars. But Land Rover actually put their money where their mouth is with the James Bond tie-ins and built a Defender two-door D90 rally car. And Mark Higgins of rally fame is going to drive it. So it was built with Bowler, who is famous for building the Bowler Wildcat, which is the one everybody knew, but they still build things that aren't the Wildcat. And this is that. It's effectively a Wildcat-ified D90. It looks like a freaking riot. Huge rally mud flaps and a cage. And what else do you need? So it's in celebration of the anniversary of James Bond, 60th anniversary of James Bond. So, you know, it's got the logo on the side and a big old 60. Interestingly, it's the 2-liter turbocharged 4-cylinder. Like, this kind of seems like it would be the perfect opportunity for the 550 horsepower supercharged V8, but you know, I don't know if fuel consumption's an issue in whatever rally series this thing's going to compete in. I don't know. It looks awesome.
Yeah, that thing is crazy.
So
is
it
going to be available to the public, or is that like a special, like one-off kind of vehicle?
It doesn't say. If I had to guess, oh no, built a one-off Defender 90. So there's your answer.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, I know.
I'm sure if you have enough,
like to rip that.
Yeah, if you have enough money, I'm sure Bowler would be happy to build you one.
Yeah.
Or so would a certain somebody whose facility is not too far from me.
Oh. Are you talking about like AI designs or whatever? Or are we talking about Lickham House?
It starts, it's
Lickham House. Okay, Lickham. I was like, why are we beating around the bush here?
Yeah,
I was like,
yeah,
this is a hard test.
Jimmy G, I'm sure he'd build something akin to this. But
yeah,
cool thing.
Oh, right on.
I bet he'd wrap a boot with a Land Rover Defender. So that's the only real news that's happened since the last time we recorded, because that was last night. So, but you have something new in your driveway.
I do have something new in my driveway. It's not mine. So the Kia Forte GT today was swapped out for the 2022 GMC Yukon AT4.
Okay.
It is enormous and white, which isn't the best color for a Yukon. It's just, I don't have to tell you, Chris, you have a white Suburban, but it's a lot of real estate for that much. It's not that it's not a color, it's just that it doesn't have any shift to it.
Yeah.
So it's a weird truck. So it has MagnaRide. It has like the full 2-speed transfer case. It's the big thing about the AT4 is skid plates. So it's got a lot of skid plates.
Thank you, Auto Trader Canada, for letting me borrow your image.
That very well could be the truck that's sitting outside.
It
right
might
now.
Be for sure.
If you have a picture of the license plate, I could tell you for sure. But yeah, you know, so the base price of the AT4, and you know, AT4 is akin to what Chevy's Z71 packages.
Yep.
Base price is 66.1. This has the 6.2, and that is a $2,600 option. It's got a couple other nonsense things, but the total price on this one is 78.6, which is a number.
It's yeah.
You know,
Kevin, my running joke is that 50 is the new 35. So like, what's 78? Like,
right. And Yukons have never been cheap.
No.
The thing is, the Denali that I had like last fall was naughty. It was like $2,600 different. So, you know, they're kind of giving you like your paths at this point in a GMC dealership. But taking it on a road trip this weekend, probably going to hook a trailer up to it. And yeah, we'll have more news next time.
I really want someone to go wheel one. I want to know how much those rear lower control arms catch.
Can handle. Oh, catch, yeah.
I like when I'm trying to find a rear shot of a AT4 right now. But like all when I'm behind one in traffic, that's all I can look at is those rear lower control arms just sticking.
Oh dang.
Like I'm assuming lower control arm. That's probably not even the right phrase. Trailing arms. I'm not a suspect.
No, I think you're right. Lower control arm.
Yeah. Somebody get Dan Edmonds back on the show and talk to suspension. So
I saw just shoot him a message.
But yeah. No, like I look at him in traffic all the time and I'm like, that's gonna catch on something.
It's a fire road truck. Nobody's gonna do anything hardcore with it. You know, it's got the tow hooks and it's got less highway-ish tires, but it's not a real off-road thing. You know, it's a package to make.
What's the tow rating on that thing?
It used to be 7,800, but it is, I would know this if we were recording a week from now, because I would have put the review together, 7,700. Okay. And I'd have to expect
that's that not the awful.
No, it's pretty strong.
Yeah, it's kind of standard now for what you'd expect.
So by Kevin, I have a 17 Suburban Premier and it's 5,000 pounds.
Oh gosh.
Because it's the Magna Ride with the auto leveling.
My truck does more than that. And my truck should not be able to tow more than that. So anyways, yeah, we'll circle back on this thing, but you know, it's an interesting proposition and that's it.
That's it. That's all you got.
That's all I got. I've driven it about 0.6 miles. So
Did you own it now? Did you buy it yourself?
Press car. Oh no, it's press
car. Oh, press car. Okay. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. Ross lives close to the fleets, and so he is our resident press car correspondent.
Oh, very cool.
So my closest fleet is in Chicago, and they're like, we're not driving anything to you. So for him, it's like, I mean, the mileage is shorter, but it probably is a 5-hour drive for them sometimes too.
Oh, it very well could be.
Yeah. But my mileage is longer, but like they could still beat me in the same amount. Anyway, mm-hmm. It's okay. I'm mm-hmm. not bitter.
Definitely not.
I didn't get a CT4 Blackwing. I'm not bitter.
Oh my God, my heart. That thing was so good.
Okay.
I gushed over it last night, but it was so good.
What about, let's shine some light on the next topic.
106 episodes and you're getting good at this.
This is 116, by the way. You're 10
this
episodes.
This is 116?
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
Good. Oh, yeah. We bulked all those together. Anyway.
Guess who does all the prep work?
Yeah. So Lightforce has graciously come on board with the GX460 project and sent over some Genesis LEDs. So those will be on the truck shortly.
Are they driving lights?
They're driving lights.
I don't want the shopping tab. Give me the image tab.
They should be a huge, huge, huge upgrade from the, you know, $45 Hellas that are on it right now. And
crap.
Sorry. They're enormous. The build quality is excellent, but like I picked these things up and I was like, oh shit. Like there goes my airflow. Like it's going to block half freaking, you know, grill, but no, they're really, really nice kit. And another thank you to Lightforce for sending them over.
So. Can I get one? I feel like one would be enough.
Like one center mounted.
Yeah, right? Just one unit. It's like Cyclops.
I'm trying to. Really, I was trying to freaking Google fast enough.
So
it's on a Holden. It's not going to help.
Why? Holdens are cool.
I know, but like that's not. I was trying to get a Toyota. Like I know it's a Lexus, but like I was trying to get a Toyota, but.
I got a whole bumper right there.
Dude, they are big.
Got some yellow filters for them. So
God damn, those are huge.
They're enormous. And I thought the Hellas that went on it were big, but these things are, I mean, they're beautiful, beautiful products. But it's gonna be comical. So
do they all have that chrome bezel or are they kind
No.
Yours I think are black,
there was,
right?
Yeah, they're black. I think there was a different series that had the chrome bezel, but
oh, okay.
The de-chroming process of my truck is going to take probably a year.
Oh, dude, yeah. I'm not a fan of chrome. I had to do that to my Chevy. I got a 3500
dual. Oh, my God. What year?
This is 14.
So that's like 50 square feet of chrome real estate.
Oh, dude, it's a landmark.
It's
It's got the four doors and the 8 foot bed. I mean, it's just, it keeps going.
Oh, it's an 8 foot. Oh, jeez. Yeah. That's a monster. They're great trucks though. That's the truck.
This is Ross's truck. So now imagine there being no space whatsoever here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's gonna be like half an inch between the lights and the winch box and the.
It's gonna see top you're gonna see bar. Just the V part of the L in Lexus, like just a little corner.
And I'm painting that L black sometime this summer when the weather's actually cooperative. So
have people done any kind of like full mesh replacements for that type of thing, or
for the grill?
Yeah,
people have done the F Sport upgrade, but okay. Lexus discontinued the grill, so finding one, it's like $1,100 for the grill.
No way.
No, so
they've also just done the Toyota Prado swap where it just says Toyota across. And
you know how much that costs?
It's a lot too.
It's like $4,000.
Yeah, exactly.
No, what?
He's got to ship it over from Australia.
Oh, that's ridiculous, dude.
I know.
That's damn near a supercharger.
Somebody's developing one, but yeah, I'm just going to buy, I'm going to buy a 4Runner front end and just like somehow craft it on and call it that.
Get a good auto body guy and just be like, make it work.
Just have a couple buddies over with like work. A keg and a case of Bond.
Yeah. a Saza, a keg, and you're good to go.
I've seen Stranger Things. So yeah. So the only other Lexus update is still trying to sort out some kind of spare tire carrier. It doesn't fit. I'm going to take another crack at it and try to fit it under the truck, but like under the truck's not ideal just because it always gets hung up and it always pulling a spare out from underneath when you desperately need it and you're like perched on some rocks is
or mud
more headaches or mud. Yeah, or mud.
What about do they make a swing arm rear bumper for that thing?
They do. The prices,
they're very proud of them,
like fall off the chair kind of
prices. Yeah, no, I just bought a 4Runner and I've been looking at front and rear bumpers and I really want the swing arm kit on the rear fit a full size.
What gen 4Runner?
Yeah, I would say
it's a fifth gen. It's a 21. Okay. TRD okay. Off-road premium.
Have you checked CBI already?
CBI makes good stuff.
CBI,
yeah, I actually did the full CBI skids in steel, and I was looking at the front bumper from them, just like the bull bar winch, and the rear, I was looking maybe Victory 4x4.
Victory makes okay stuff. I don't want to talk poorly about them. I've seen some questionable things.
Okay.
Like their front bumper, like
welds and stuff. Or?
No, not welds. Just like their front bumper. If you mount the winch to where the winch plate is actually supposed to mount, you actually have to run the line to get out of the fairlead. The line has to go up and over through the fairlead, so it actually causes abrasion like before it actually gets.
Yeah, that's a terrible design, actually.
But I mean, I owned a fifth gen 4Runner. My brother currently owns a fifth gen 4Runner. We tend to be a Toyota podcast. Chris has a Chevy now, but like. He's owned a couple more Toyotas than anything else. So I'll get you in contact if you want with my friends at Iron Man who did the,
Yeah, actually Iron Man reached out to us several years ago to do something on the rally, like the rally cross scene. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't really know how I can make that crossover. And then kind of dropped the ball. And 2 years later I have a 4Runner and I'm like, damn it.
They're the guys. I mean,
Ross has an email for you.
That'd be great. Yeah, I'd love to reach back out and do some stuff.
They hooked me up on the Lexus. That's the Iron Man bumper and suspension on the Lexus, and it's friggin' awesome.
Yeah, that bumper looks killer.
Can't say enough good about it. So yeah, we'll hook you up.
Does Iron Man do a 2-inch lift mid travel type of thing for the runner?
That's what they do. They have two kits. They have the Nitro kit and they have Foam Cell Pro. Foam cells being a little better.
Foam cell, right?
Yeah, I got foam cells. Dude, they're like freaking like canisters. It's crazy. But the truck rides off-road like it rides on-road. It's amazing.
Oh, so you get a good like mix of the two? Because I do like to daily this thing on the road.
That's what mine is.
Okay.
Yep. So we'll get you in contact with that.
Right on. Yeah, I get so overwhelmed sometimes. You go through the forums looking at all the options and you get like, you find the right one, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, the guys are like talking smack about it. You know, I don't know what to go with now. It's hard to pick.
There's two sides to every coin.
For sure.
So you said TRD off-road premium?
Yeah. Yep.
So is that KDSS?
It does actually.
An option, but it has it. Good.
It does. Yeah.
KDSS. So
there's
is
a.
Fucking awesome.
There's a.
Yeah, dude, it's rad.
Stage two or a stage one, but they don't have stage three with KDSS
at Ironman. That's probably screws for the stage two.
Yeah, that would be the one to go with. KDSS is so good. It's so good. I had only heard people talk about it, and then I drove a truck with it, and now my Lexus has it. It's like, oh my God.
Kind of blows your mind, right? Like, my girlfriend has a 2020, same exact trim without it, and that thing's like rocking us back and forth on the smallest thing, and this one's just like floating right over.
You gotta love KDSS.
It's pretty sweet.
So good. You know, it's good when Dan Edmonds, who was a suspension engineer for Toyota, buys a 4Runner with KDSS.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. He's like, I gotta have it.
He's our suspension guru. That's like,
he's the suspension
guru. It's like, if we have questions, like, what's Dan say?
Exactly.
That's a good guy to have in your corner.
Yeah, he's a good dude. So yeah, we'll get you in contact with
right on
with them. So that's all my news. So Chris, how was the trip?
I went to the mountains. So they are nearby. So I talked last episode. We got the leveling kit on the Suburban. It's just a 1.5 metal bracket in the front, and then some plastic spacers on top to get it to 2.5 in the front, and then it's a 1-inch metal spacer in the rear.
This works a lot better when you can share your screen,
right? I updated the computer yesterday, Cabot. Like, it wouldn't let me share anything. Like, we wouldn't, like, this is how I install images into the video form of the podcast, but I just share the screen. So that way I don't have to go.
Also helps our guests, you know, so they can like
follow. No, it's that the visual is killer. Yeah. No. So did you have to like go back to a different update to get it to work, or?
No. I just had to actually, you know, turn on permission to let Zoom record my screen because Mac was mad that Zoom was trying to record my screen and I hadn't. And it was like, you must close Zoom now and reopen Zoom. And we were like 30 minutes into a show already. So,
damn.
Yeah. 115 episodes and I made pretty big technical glitch on that
it's
one.
Okay.
I've added Vredestein Pinza all-terrain tires to it, which I've covered on the show a number of times. I put the Z71 wheels on it because I didn't like 22s. I liked 18s because I like sidewall. I'm team more sidewall. This is the set of tires, second trip out to the mountains in the winter. They crushed it again. We got quite a bit of, you can tell from the Suburban, like it's covered in snow. We got quite a bit of snow while we were out there. We were in Frisco, so we weren't really that, I mean, we're at 9,000 feet. We weren't that high up, but love the lift. It felt better. The only issue was, it was insanely windy all the way out there and then all the way back. I don't know what I should have taken a picture because like I live in Kansas City. We drive to Colorado quite a bit. Like, I'm used to having the steering wheel tilted a little bit into the breeze. Like, it's just something you're used to if you drive in windy areas. This was a little more extreme. Like, it was like, are you sure? And then like, I should have taken a picture because I went to the tire pressure gauge readout on the Suburban, and literally both right side tires were 2 PSI higher.
Holy than shit. Both
left side tires. Damn, like
just it, getting smoked on that side.
Yeah, oh, it was leaning a little bit. But with the Magna ride and the auto level or the ride leveling in the back, like I really couldn't tell the difference. And so Ross, I know I've talked on the show before, like I saw like on our Montana trip, like we had 19 mpg, like this was the first time since that trip that I saw like 18.8. like, it's been a long time since I saw numbers that high again, like normally being in the 16s and the 17s, mainly probably because of the wind and then elevation change. But coming down, it got close to almost getting to 19 again, which I was kind of solid for. So
big ass truck.
It is a big ass truck, and it did great. My parents went with us, and so one kid always goes and rides with them just because he wants to be, he's like, if I go with them, there's no rules. Like, I'm with my grandparents. Where the other three are like, fine, he's out, we're good now. Like, I have a lot of kids. but like, they had a blast. I'm not sharing that. They looked hilarious. But we took them, we tried to go tubing last year and we couldn't do that because reservations were booked for like weeks later. And so when we got to November this year, I was like, hook them up. Like, I just knew we were going again. So we went tubing twice. We had a great time. The kids were fine, but like the we were supposed to drive home Friday. So Thursday, my daughter woke up and she was just miserable. Take her to the urgent care, double ear infection. While we're at urgent care with her, my 7-year-old starts throwing up. And so so he's back at the cabin with my parents vomiting. We're getting texts like, hey, he's vomiting. I'm like, all right, well, I had to get the older two boys to a ski lesson at 10. So like literally got back to the house. And it, of course, it's like white out blizzarding conditions at this time, which is one of the reasons that I love Colorado. Cause like they'll shut down 70, but like town is open. Like stores are open. Everything was like urgent care wasn't closed. Everything was good. So I got my daughter back to the house. We picked up her prescription, got her back to the house, took the older two boys to ski lesson, then grabbed 7-year-old and took him back to urgent care. And somewhere in there squeezed in an hour of tubing. And I saw the same nurse and doctor while we were at urgent care. And I was like, you guys now seen 50% of my children. Like, I don't know who else. Like, do you guys want to see the big two? Like, we were good.
Better hope they're not back.
Yeah, I do have a video of them. Like the conditions while they were skiing got a little sketch, because it was not like that big of a snow hill, but like you couldn't see the top of the hill anymore. Like it was pretty. Like I'm pretty sure my dad's filming and he couldn't tell where the boys were just looking at his phone. So that's why it feels like it's off. It's because he literally couldn't see the kid. I mean, there he is.
Or like, he was filming with his left hand and get the snowball ready with his right.
Right.
That's a hell of a snow day, dude.
Right. And so like it was, and it's not a huge hill. Like it is the first time they've ever skied before. So it was good.
No poles. First time aggressive. Okay.
They're doing good, man.
Yeah. They were all right. I would say they acquitted themselves fine. Like
acquitted, acclimated.
Acclimated.
Still don't think acquitted. That's right.
Guilty.
I mean, they're definitely you're guilty, acquitted. Especially those two. But no, it was great. Like we had some, like it was just awesome weather because it would literally be like sunny and then snowing and then sunny and then so and then like Colorado. One time it was just sunny and just snowing. I was like, wait, is it blowing off something or is it actually snowing? Like it was fun to, like, we've done this trip a couple of times now where it's spring break and we like force ourselves back into winter except this time it snowed here before we even were able to leave. Like we were still in winter kind of thing. Like we never got out of it. And so I think I sent the picture to Ross of the Suburban, like we're in my driveway and it's already covered in snow and icicles and crap. Like we haven't even left yet, guys. Like the whole point is to travel and go to winter, but no, it was a good trip other than like at the end where the kids were just like, no, we're going to be sick now. And you're like, all right, well, we got 9 hours in the car tomorrow.
That's a hectic day right there. Good Lord.
That's the world I live in. So. People are like, I'm tired. I was like, you don't know the depths of tired yet.
Yeah.
It goes deeper.
There's levels.
Yes.
Seriously.
I've been tired since 2008. Which, side note, I've been listening to there's a parenting podcast, which is two English comedians, which absolutely cracks me up. But one of the guests I had on the other day, who's also a celebrity, like they're getting ready to have the baby and people are telling them to like store sleep. And his comment is like, that's not possible. Like your body doesn't wake up and be like, you have an extra 45 minutes of sleep last night. I'll pack that away. No, like it doesn't.
Yeah. It's usually like you got an extra 45 minutes. You're going to be more tired now.
Exactly.
Yeah. You might have overslept there. Yeah.
It's weird shit. So I don't know why people tell other people to store sleep. So that's dumb.
Bullshit.
All right, Kevin, let's do you.
All right.
Fun stuff. The real fun stuff.
Way more fun stuff.
Seriously. So where you want to?
You run it, Ross.
Okay. All right. So, I mean, let's start at the beginning. What was your intro to cars? What got you into cars? Like, I mean, this is a long story here. So how did it start? Oh,
for sure. Yeah. So basically, you know, I feel like a lot of gearheads are the same way, but you're kind of just born into it. You feel like you want to drive cars. You want to drive anything. You're interested in trucks, trains, airplanes, all that stuff as a kid. Yep. For me, I lived in Santa Cruz in the Bonnie Doon Mountains on a ranch. It's actually our ranch sign right here. Nice. And we had a front end loader and a ride on lawnmower. And I was always just trying to bug my dad to let me drive it. Eventually I could reach the pedals and the steering wheel and he would let me go down to the barn and pick it up. And that's when I actually fell in love with, you know, mechanically driving things. And so really I actually start with tractors, to be completely honest.
Get yourself into the, who was it that was doing the like Porsche tractor racing on Laguna Seca?
That's Zwart and Pat Long.
How long was doing that?
They're like tractors. Porsche tractors.
Yeah.
Oh, that's badass.
I think they top out at like 12 miles an hour though.
That's good racing right there.
I gotta see if I can find that picture of Pat
Long. So did you do any stupid shenanigans with tractors, or you try to keep it in check so that you'd get the ticket into a car?
Yeah, I didn't really want to lose that privilege, to be honest. But I was like backing up the trailers and all that type of stuff. So I'd go hitch a trailer, bring it up to the ranch house and back it in between, you know, two cars, my mom's and my dad's, and my mom would always have a panic attack. Cause it's basically, you know, I was like 6 years old doing this, you know, she's like, that's not acceptable.
How big of a tractor are we talking? How big of a trailer?
Well, it's bigger than that. That's hilarious.
Those are the Porsches. Sorry.
Look at this guy doing like the full winged out thing.
Dude, yeah. That's Pat Long.
How did I miss this event?
He won, by the way.
I think it was is Renfest correct?
It's not
Rentech, because that's Mercedes. I think it's Renfest. I'll Google.
Didn't Rentech used to do Porsches too, or no?
Rentech.
Oh, Rensport maybe?
Maybe.
Oh, Rensport was a shop near me. And I thought Rentech was a Mercedes shop.
Yeah, Rensport has been
definitely not Renfest. They're
nationwide.
Yeah. Anyways.
So what kind of tractor? Yeah, from tractors. I actually ended up moving to Massachusetts. I lived there for 10 years.
Oh, really? Where in Mass? Yeah.
I live in Weston.
Okay.
Weston and Wellesley.
Gotcha.
And that's where I actually started, you know, racing. I went to F1 indoors and started doing some indoor karting stuff just for fun as soon as I could.
How old were you?
This point, you know, 12 or 13 years old. I think that's when they let you actually go out there and compete. Mm-hmm. So I started doing that. And then I saw they had like an indoor league and a series. So I did their like winter series, started meeting the guys. And as you enter this building, it was really cool. Actually, they used to have like old Porsche Cup cars in there and a couple of different vehicles. And then they would have probably two or three different shifter carts, all CRGs, because they were like a CRG dealership as well, the owner, RJ Valentine. So I was just eyeing these things because they're so much cooler than indoor carts, right? Like these European carts are just infinitely cooler than the bumper cars you're driving around. But I slowly convinced my dad to talk to these guys, and we ultimately bought a used shifter, or it was a used tag cart from the 2011 World Championships. So it had one race only, right? Which is a classic. The thing's been bent 17 different times. But either way, we bought the cart and started racing at the outdoor track, which is called F1 Outdoors. Same owner and everything. And that track was actually still to this day one of the coolest tracks I've ever raced in karting.
Similar cart?
Actually very different. So I would look up CRG. God damn, what was the thing called? Like a Knight Rider or something like that.
Ooh.
Black Knight, I think, maybe.
Ooh,
CRG Black Knight.
Sounds fast.
Yeah, they're great carts. They were. And so I started running the local stuff there. And I was running a class called Rotax Junior. And ran that and started doing regional stuff with the RMAX Northeast Challenge. I was up in New York, we were in Connecticut, Beaver Run, Pennsylvania, all kinds of stuff.
Is that the same Rotax that builds the Can-Am motors?
It is.
Yeah. Oh, interesting.
Yep, same company. And even to this day, they still have a series. Not nearly as popular as it was when I started, as far as I know. Mm-hmm. But
is it a Dark Rider?
Dark Rider. Potentially. Okay.
Maybe. I don't know.
It's been a while. I've moved on to
so hard.
Yeah, no, that's oh, like shit. Exactly what it is.
Yep. Okay, I think it's crazy.
That's a shifter because that's got the front brakes. But yeah. Just so that's sweet. Actually what I race now is just for fun, for training. I'll drive my shifter cart around. And Go ahead.
What was the like segue for you from shifter carts to full size stuff?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question, because it's something a lot of drivers face. It's like when they're looking to go professional or not be the guy that's always permanently in go-karts, you know, there are 45-year-old dudes yeah. racing carts. There's a master class. I mean, I've seen 75-year-old dudes ripping carts.
Some of the fastest people I've ever seen around an autocross are like in their 70s, you know?
Oh yeah, these guys freaking are nuts. I'm like, damn, dude, that's got to hurt your back or something. I don't know.
Dude, I'm 6'4". I have a hard time fitting in them. Like,
oh yeah, the fast autocross stuff is typically the smaller car too, right?
Yeah.
Short wheelbase and all that. But the transition for me, you know, I do a lot of research. I used to watch Safe is Fast videos. Safeisfast.com is a great place to get, you know, the information from drivers who have done the same switch. And going from carts to cars, you really just have to sit down and plan out what you want to do. Like, what's your end goal? For me, at the time, it was Formula Car. I wanted to race IndyCar and do the Mazda Road Indy. So that's what I did. I went and researched a great entry level. And since I had shifter cart experience, I knew how to play with brake bias, shift gears, not over rev, use front brakes, all that type of stuff. So I was like, you know what? I kind of got into this late compared to a lot of guys. So at that point, I'm, you know, 16, 17 years old. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'll go straight into Pro Mazda. So I don't mess around with the 1600 or the F2000 type of car. So we bought a Pro Mazda ourselves and raced it in Car Challenge. Go ahead.
What's a Pro Mazda?
A Pro Mazda is essentially like a Formula 3 equivalent car.
Okay.
And before IndyCar or the Road to Indy changed to a new chassis, that was their F3 equivalent.
Gotcha.
Okay. So it would be Pro Mazda, Indy Lights, IndyCar. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I'll just go do a regional series and run my own team and train and see what I can do and maybe get into. Yeah, it's exactly.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And see if I can get into a car with the Road Indy guys.
Who's so working on the like your shifter cart? And then when you got up to here, who was working on that? Was it just you and your dad?
I had so I'm a first generation driver. So my parents just don't get the mechanical thing. They never wrenched on anything.
Yeah.
They did support me a lot. You know, they would, come to the track and waste their entire weekend away watching me turn laps in a go-kart. So I got to appreciate that. But once I got into the Pro Mazda, it was really more about, one of my mentors, Brian Keck. So Brian Keck was the guy who ran me in go-karts when I was back on the West Coast. There it is. That's me right there.
That's awesome.
Give me enough time. I can find it.
You can
good
see
color scheme.
Keck racing on the back there. Yeah, it was a beautiful car, man. And the guy right behind me in the Proform car is Hunter Pickett, who's a good friend of mine still. And he was running the Muscle Milk team. They had family connection to the Muscle Milk program. So they had a really bitching team, good operation, and it was pretty competitive.
And it looks like you were ahead of them.
I was. This was the biggest race we did in Formula Car Challenge. We opened for IndyCar during the Sonoma Grand Prix, Save Mart or whatever it was. Or the GoPro Grand Prix, I think is what it was called.
GoPro.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Nick Woodman is in that blue car.
Back here?
Yeah. The guy started GoPro.
Oh, so wow. Yeah, it's definitely GoPro because all the banners are in the back.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he damn near killed me at Laguna Seca going up the hill towards the corkscrew. He shit off the wheel and damn near T-boned me.
Oh, shit.
Oh, it was crazy. I was like, give me a free camera for that one or something, you know?
Yeah.
It was inches.
There's also GoPros. There's GoPros on tops of all the cars, so yeah. There probably is a video somewhere.
Yeah, true. Very true. I know he has a video.
Oh, yeah.
He's not gonna let you show it anywhere.
He's also not gonna do a damn thing without GoPro on his rig or whatever.
Yeah, snapped it.
Okay. So from there, I went to I won that championship, and then I went to Pelfrey and did a test out at Palm Beach International Raceway, and they gave me a number, and it was just a little too high for me, and I didn't have the funds, so I started to think and plan out what I actually could afford to do and make it to a professional level and actually get some championships and some recognition. So one of my buddies growing up karting was Alex Keys. And Alex, while I was running that Pro Mazda, had left the Formula car scene and gone to GRC, which was Global Rallycross, the Red Bull series. And I watched his whole season, man, and he was running the lights car, and it was killer. I need to do jumps. I want to do, you know, transitions and all kinds of cool stuff. So that's when I reached out to him and I was like, dude, get me in with your team. He was racing for a great organization called Dreyer and Reinbold. And I was like, all right, started conversations with them, got a deal going. Yep, there's the car.
So wait, and you went, I need to find another series.
Yeah.
And you were in an aero open wheel car and went, let me get in a hatchback and just have air underneath me now.
Yeah, I mean, it's a classic transition. You know, once you get good with the high aero and the open wheel stuff, you can go into any type of sports car racing and make a relatively seamless transition. Going the other way is a little harder because you got to learn aero and trimming out cars and learn how to use the brakes when you're fully loaded up on aero and coming off of them. I mean, it's a bigger transition and it's terrifying. I'm sure that grip you can't see.
Think the shifter cart experience translated more to the open wheel downforce, or the downforce and open wheel translated more to what followed?
I'd say it absolutely translated more towards open wheel. Even though you learn the downforce element, but the mechanical grip that those cars make and the type of racing you do and the type of passing and braking and all that, it's more, much more similar. That's why you see 90 or more percent of these Formula Car guys coming from karting.
Right. That makes sense.
And so even, you know, it's weird though, because, you know, you can still, there it is. That was the Port of LA. That was the weekend I won the championship there.
Nice.
I love the masts in the background.
Right, yeah.
Flying through the air. Here are boats.
No, that was a good time, man. Yeah, so I actually won that championship by 1 point.
What?
Oh, wow.
I had a horrible weekend chasing engine gremlins and all kinds of electrical problems. And we got shuffled all the way to the back and just barely by the skin of our teeth made the final event. It was a 10-car final. So I started 10th, five rows back, and went from 10th to first.
How many laps?
In 10 laps.
Oh, my God.
So basically, there was a perfect storm. The two guys who were essentially P1, P2 in the championship took each other out into turn two. And I went all the way at the inside, followed Alex Keys. So from 10th to second place in two corners on the first lap. And then Alex had an engine problem and I passed him and won by 1 point. Oh
my God. That's insane.
Craziest day of my life to this day, to be honest.
Who do you remind that you beat by 1 point?
Everybody?
It would be Oliver Erickson, I believe.
Okay, that's a name.
Yeah, and I'm sure he still hates that. But he's a good dude. He's really good, yeah.
That's funny. So what's the, what's driving one of those things like? It's paddles, right?
No, those are sequentials.
Sequentials. Oh, wow. Huh. Okay.
And those are mid-engined with very little travel. And they're all the same type of car, just a chassis with what looks like a Ford Fiesta body on it. Mm-hmm. But they got insanely hot. You know, you had that engine sitting right behind you and there was no type of cooling or any ducting. There was a lot of dust that came in through the doors. That's what I went to the following year, which is the M Sport Ford Fiesta, which is a great car.
Full-time four-wheel drive?
Yeah, that one's front engine, four-wheel drive, okay. 2-liter turbo, makes about anywhere from like 50 to 70 pounds of boost based on your anti-lock
setting. Holy shit.
It's just a massive, IED, dude. It's just an explosion every time you drive it. So
And it has anti-lock too, right?
Huge number.
Oh, yeah. Full anti-lock system.
Oh, my God.
It was a bit
so hard. Are these things, aside from motors, like the chassis and the suspension setup, does it make it like playful, or is it just regardless of terrain, it's just so buttoned down that it always feels like there's just endless grip and thrust?
It's kind of a bit of both, to be honest. I think that's the beauty of rallycross is you need a car that is playful and easy to control. Mm. Kind of like a seamless, you know exactly where it's going to be. It's very intuitive, but at the same time, it does make grip when you want it to. That's our biggest problem in rallycross is learning how to make grip in low grip surfaces, you know?
Yes.
That was our season opener there. That was actually a really cool corner.
It's so much dirt in the air. It's like Baja. Like it's.
Yeah, that's a deceiving picture too, because that berm is just massive, massive berm.
So it's a right turn, right? Like you're just sliding.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You just charge in. You actually take a tabletop jump, and then you land, and you have this big, super dugout berm. The ruts got crazy through there. All that dirt was so soft, you know.
It looks like
How long did it take learning like tabletops and berms and jumps compared to the open wheel cars? Like that's just go fast around the corners, right?
Yeah. Did you have any
like is there motocross training somewhere in there?
That's what I was gonna ask. You didn't have ever like jumped a dirt bike or something before you hit a double?
No. Nope.
Basically you shit your pants. And you look at the data and you get a quick, lesson on how to load the front and then load the rear off the face of the jump. And after that, it's all feel. Wow. You got to nose a couple landings. You got to land on the rear and break some stuff just to get consistent. And thank God I had that training, because now with the nitro stuff, we're doing the 100-foot gap jumps. And it's like, coming into that, never jumping, it would be absolutely horrifying.
So you said there's not that much suspension travel. So
on the lights car.
On the lights car. So did impacts like they didn't.
Well, they would rattle your spine.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's what you would expect.
Yeah, I have back problems now, but I had back problems when I was way too young to have back problems.
Hey, so is Ross.
Yeah, ditto.
Yeah.
Not from rally cars. But
either way, it still haunts you.
Yes. So the nitro cars. So nitro rally cross.
Yeah.
Oh, we skipped some Beatles.
We skipped some Beatles, but a little more suspension travel. And
yeah.
Is it more forgiving to drive? Like the lights cars from just the videos, it looks like you miss a line or you get into the gas too soon or too late and it's just your SOL. Are the nitro rally cross cars any more forgiving or is it worse?
Yeah, so essentially, like lights is also run in nitro rallycross. They don't do the big jumps, obviously, mm-hmm. But those cars are pretty temperamental. So they can be very fragile. They can have a lot of random electronic issues. So I'm glad I don't race them anymore. But I think they do serve a good purpose as far as a training car. They're also half the horsepower, and again, that mid-engine configuration, very little travel. So those you have to drive differently. That's a momentum-based car. You have to open up your lines, get on the power early and just hold on. And that thing's bucking around like crazy. Whereas the supercars are purpose-built, rally cross machines. So they have proper suspension, proper travel, twice the horsepower at least. So you have to drive those quite a bit different. And that right there is the S1 Quattro I raced this past year.
Awesome. Is it twice the fun, twice the power and twice the travel?
It's probably 10 times the fun, at least.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, the supercars are legit, man.
It looks like a good time.
It looks like it was dropped from a spaceship, and it just
looks like it hurt.
The landings are pretty soft. Look at the travel that those things have when they're drooped.
Man.
And they fly really well. They fly better than, some of the off-road trucks I see. I think that has more to do with suspension. And tuning that in, but
can you adjust midair? Like once you're in the air, like gas,
it's hard to adjust back. The only way to pick the nose up, what we've learned is to actually shift up a gear, and that like kind of kicks the front up just a tiny bit if you need it. But with any type of jump, your takeoff is everything. Well, most of it. If you're in the air and you let off or you hit the brake, instant nose dive.
Yeah, I would say, can't you drop the nose with the nose with the brakes?
Oh down. Yeah, you could do that. But see, in motocross
to get a little rise.
Yeah, like the motorbikes, they do a good job exaggerating that. A lot of the freestyle guys,
Yeah, definitely. What's your favorite track? Favorite places you've driven both on tarmac and on rally surfaces?
You know, we raced the first year of a nitro track in Arizona, and that track was super cool. Really nice dirt, cool track layout, nice features, made for good racing. There's also our season finale in this past season. That was in Stark, Florida. Okay. And that track was excellent. That actually had much more tarmac to it than any other track we've been to this past year or past several years. So I enjoyed that a lot, obviously coming from asphalt background.
Yeah.
I love watching them fly through the air.
This video is crazy. Like, you know, I remember watching Pastrana, this must have been 10 or 15 years ago in an STI doing like the world's longest jump. And now it's like, you guys are kind of getting there on a normal basis with these 100 footers, you know?
That's the problem with Travis, man. He just keeps trying to make it more intense, which is great for what people want to see. But, you know, as a driver, there's a mental element where it's like, all right, like every year you gotta nut up and mm-hmm. figure out how to overcome your fear again and just get it done. Right. So I appreciate it, but it also, it's like when you sit there in the off season and you're doing nothing, you're like, oh God, what am I doing with my life? I'm gonna
die. Yeah. It seems hectic. Like, it doesn't look like it's a nice, relaxing drive. Like,
oh yeah, this is a nice little video of a roll.
Oh,
here it goes.
There it goes. Going. Usually see the wipers going after the roll. The wipers were already going before the roll.
Yeah, I think I like grabbed it with, it's a button on the wheel there.
Huh.
Oh, this was a good one. This track was really fun. Despite this roll, damn near totaled the car, but the dirt was awesome. And it's a short course track that's been repurposed for nitro. It's ERX Motorsports Park. That place was awesome.
Yeah, that looks like a crazy
time. Very cool high-speed track.
Crazy, crazy, crazy.
Mm-hmm. Utah had so much potential, too, that one you were showing the videos with the big gap jump. And we had a really cool fan base and audience there, too. But unfortunately, no matter what we did, it was just a huge dust bowl. And it made the racing really tough. Visibility was, like, the worst possible.
Like, the consistent amount of air, like – I only think of trophy trucks being at these heights all the time. Like, they're hatchbacks.
Yeah. Yeah. It's wild.
Sort of.
I mean, they're hatchbacks. Like,
sure. Yeah. Sure.
Consistently being that's 5 to 6
Arizona.
Feet.
That's is it? The Arizona okay. track there,
oh
yeah.
my God. That's insane. That's like.
Again, I know camera angle plays a part of it. Like, but like, they're not. It's not like when you're like, hey, I jump my truck and I have like inches of all four tires off the ground. Like when you're measuring it in feet, that's different. Like
if you could run a couple of the circuits that you run in a street car or a street truck, which one would you take out?
Oh, street car. I don't think there's anything that would work. not with
Taycan turbo. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, power is not the problem. It's the travel and the rigidity But a truck, I mean, damn. Got you think Raptor. About, like, obviously your mind goes to the Raptor, but I've seen those things kind of be nose heavy in the air. And I don't know if I want to be doing that. I've wound up a couple things before.
Heavy. Yeah, just heavy. Yeah.
No matter how much you accelerate off that lift, like, it's going to tank forward. I don't know. What's the most balanced, you know, off-road vehicle on the market? It's hard to say. TRX looks kind of cool.
Yeah. I'm sure that's nose heavy too.
I think they all are. They're just so much weight up there.
6,900 pounds.
Yeah,
that's a Bronco
Rattler. That thing was hard to manage on the street. I would go new BRZ with a 2-inch lift.
And just, no 2 inches isn't enough.
Yeah, and just not caring.
Rest in peace, your back, dude.
Yeah, but
two-inch lift, stock suspension. Good Lord.
Be a jolly good time until you end up in the hospital.
Well, what can I say? I mean, we had a couple events where this is Glen Helen Raceway. This is our jump practice. We had a couple events where the opening or like intermission was the Pit Viper Derby or whatever, and they took these clapped out minivans and random vehicles, And these are, these guys, they must have been drunk or at least hungover and still drunk, something.
That's
like
just their
that.
State of being.
Yeah, it could be their state of being. Anyway, they would like smash all the windows out, paint the shit out of them, and then go out and try and hit the tabletops and the step ups and do a full blown race. And I literally witnessed like two cars rolling, no roll cages, no Hans device, just
what?
Just rednecks and
just wait, just liability waivers.
It was you sign your life away. And yeah, I don't blame them for implementing that. But dude, it was so entertaining. So if they can do it, I'm sure there's plenty of stuff out there that could. Whether or not I want to do it, it's a different story.
So. I feel like I've seen the Pit Viper thing somewhere.
Oh, it's so awesome. It might
probably on YouTube.
When the butterflies are going and you're nervous about the final or whatever it is, and you watch that, I mean, it totally takes you away.
That's so good.
Where did the front end blow up?
That was Utah.
Was that Utah?
Yeah, that video, man, they did me dirty.
What was that gets ejected forward from the car?
That is the basically the housing for the shock.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah.
So for the audio listener, Howdy hatch towards camera, shock housing also towards camera at speed, and tire and hub and everything else that goes with it collapsing.
Yeah. That that video went absolutely viral. That got about 5 million views on his channel. And I was like, you guys didn't even tag me, man. Like, you just put this shit out there. And it's like, come on.
They've got you at it at the top now, but like.
Oh, yeah, but too little too late, man.
Yeah.
Was there a warning for that, or were you were like.
Oh, yeah. To get... So, again, the visibility was a big issue. It was a mixture of things. I was in the LCQ, last chance qualifier. And I miraculously had secured a second position. So I was like the last dude to make the final. And I'm coming around, that's literally towards the checkered. And the way the track worked is you kind of like come around through this dirt chicane section, and then you have this weird kind of hump in all dirt. And then you have this big concrete tire wall extending out before you like track back onto the main straightaway. And the dust was kind of lingering there, and I was like still like full race mode, like ready to go. Didn't back off, should have backed off. And I just went right to it, man, full racing, like trying apex stuff. And all of a sudden the dust kind of cleared right when it was too late. And there was just this big honking tire, and it just peeled that whole car off. So right here, this video, the whole tire, like the thing will not turn. So it's like inching towards the wall, like ready to die. And that's when you see me pull the handbrake to pitch it and try and just drive it across the line just as much as I can get.
Mm-hmm.
We made the final, but unfortunately we didn't have enough time to repair that damage. That was pretty intense.
That's a lot of repair.
Yeah. I know that they could have done it, but the downside to it is once you have the axle and all that stuff sheared off like that, you don't know how much oil is left in the front diff. And you gotta go through it all if you want to be safe. So
they made a
good call because we had a quick turnaround to our next event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that first video buried the lead on it. You know, there's no tire wall in that first video. You're just driving towards the camera and suddenly it's poof.
Yeah, that guy got a hell of a shot.
Yeah, he did.
Crazy.
I love that Nitro just like slips in other videos because that's the rally guy going, Simi, you're breaking the car.
Oh, yeah. No, their media guys are hilarious, dude. Yeah, they're killing it.
As you'd expect.
Yeah.
Their camera angles are just ridiculous, too. Like, with the drones.
I'm so glad they incorporated the chase drones and everything. Yes. That's been one of the coolest things they've done. Like, it's like a damn video game, you know?
It's the perfect series for it.
Yeah. You know?
I won't play Forza if I can't have this angle. Like,
it makes the crazy look even crazier.
this is that track in Arizona that is just awesome,
dude. It looks like it flows so well, but it does still, man.
It's a great track. I had a lot of issues with the step up jump here, just kind of get in your own head if you case it really bad one time. This is the first event I came back from that Utah issue, or was it this was the first event I came back to after rolling the car four times or whatever it was and just writing the damn thing off. So I was like, I don't, the last thing I want to do is
roll it again.
Bitch on its hood. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
So I had to yes. figure it out.
Dude, if you're into yes. rolling, have you looked at stadium super trucks? I mean, like,
you know, I have looked at that series before. I was like with my back, I don't think that's comfortable.
They flatland yeah. off of like 8 feet dude. Of air.
It's I don't think that's good for your neck or your brain. God damn.
Your biology.
Sweeping yeah. statement, but I don't think anybody in that series is concerned for their job. Like, you just
back your nuts every time you land.
Oh my God, it's gotta be.
No, terrible. I don't want to do that.
It's something you'd probably love to do once and then never want to do again.
Yeah, I mean, what is it, Matthew Brabham or whatever his name is? Yeah. He just dominates that series.
Is he Australian?
Yeah, I think so.
I love these guys throwing it down the inside. Like, you guys, it's so much. I know, like, all of the rest of motorsport is like, don't, like, NASCAR is okay with bumping. Formula One's like, you can never touch. But, like, they touch in rallycross. Like, it's so yeah. much more fun to watch.
Oh, yeah. Contact's the way, man.
Yep. Yeah. That's the way I play my video games. I don't need to hit the brakes. I can brake on you. Like, it's
exactly.
Fine.
Yeah. yeah. There is a element of that in rallycross, but they're trying to find a way to create a rule book around it. You know, it's hard to make calls like that consistently.
Yeah. Right.
Well, so that is the politics.
Someone's day.
That's the politics that we have to deal with that can get frustrating at times.
How many guys run in the series?
I believe we had 12 or 13 entries last year. And is we're it like, probably looking up to like 16 at this point.
For a short track, that's enough cars.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah.
You know, it doesn't have to be like freaking.
And lights. That's the supercar category, you know, the yeah. lights category is its own animal. Yeah. So,
What's in your personal garage? What's like your daily and your weekend toys?
Yeah. For a while there, I was actually dailying my dually. I've always loved trucks.
So big.
And it's bone stock too. Like, I just, there's nothing exciting about it. I was just like, I love this thing.
Don't need to do much of that.
And it was a total bitch to park anywhere. And, in Nevada, it's much easier, but, you know, for a while there, I had it down in, like, San Francisco, and that was just the biggest chaotic nightmare, you know?
It's the it worst everyone. Place in
a dually in with an 8-foot bed.
Yeah.
And
a crew cab.
Yep. Yeah. Just so a monster.
Truck is 27 feet long.
Yeah.
Probably.
The length of a block, a city block.
Could you have driven down Lombard? I don't think you could have. Like,
oh, absolutely not. No. That would have been a horrible, horrible time. I'd probably get stuck, you know.
Probably.
Just like wedge it.
That's
a good way to go viral.
Yeah.
That's a good way to get arrested.
Also, yeah.
Yeah.
We can't help but notice you have a drone flying around. I'm usually, what's that about?
Getting arrested is a good way to go viral. So.
Also true.
Yeah. Isn't that so? That's Blake Wilkie's like whole thing is he did the bug and got arrested in San Diego and now
this is the Baja bug guy. Yeah. What's still the deal? Is he good to go? Like, is he still in the? Is he facing charges or anything?
No, I don't think that's. I think that's from like 7 years ago now. Like,
yeah, damn. That's been a long time.
I think it's called
that dude Tesla.
Urban is now it's the guy who jumped a Tesla and ran into people's cars.
Talk about nosedive. Holy shit. Did you see that thing?
Yeah. How could you not? You know?
God damn it.
Yeah, okay, that was insanity.
So the dually was daily.
Until I got the 4Runner. I've also owned a 2015 F80 M3 for quite a while.
Nice.
That I've been modifying pretty heavily. I've been driving it these past couple of days. We have a little heat wave coming in. So it's been fun. I like to let it kind of chill in the garage. I put it on the tender and warm it up every now and then, but I don't know. It's an expensive day, dude. Like, I had to replace my battery. I called BMW today and they're like, oh, that's $2,000.
What?
I was like, you're high. I am not paying that.
Wait, what?
Yeah, it's like a lithium ion special like M battery.
8-pound battery.
Yeah, I was like, no way, dude.
Hard no.
Yeah. Is it F80 M3?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Is it?
And this is what BMW was pushing on me today. I'm like, I'm almost positive I can have replaced this for like $500. And whatever you're trying to give me right now is just bullshit.
100%. So is it a stick or auto?
Yeah, it's a 6-speed manual.
Those things are rowdy. Like,
oh, dude. Yeah, I got mine tuned up to about 610 horsepower, about 650 foot pounds.
Oh my God.
It's a monster.
Yeah. I don't think people realize just how aggro they are. Like,
oh, it's how the torque kicks in, dude. I mean, it's really truly like a torque monster.
They're violent.
Yeah.
But okay. That's a monster.
One thing I did just recently purchase is a 1988 M6 E24.
Bam. How much money do you have?
Huh?
How much money did you spend on it, and how much money do you intend on spending on it?
So this has 24,000 original miles.
Oh my gosh.
It was a bring a trailer purchase. We got it for about 52 to 55. I put probably north of $5,000 to $6,000 into it just to make it, you know, as perfect as possible. New gas tank, new front control arms. We're doing some other small things, you know, repairing a little ceiling dome light and getting the cluster refinished stuff.
New are the tires?
The tires are within a year and a half, and they're the metric size with the OEM rim.
Perfect.
Yeah, we're just glad you're not going to die due to tires.
Yeah.
Well, an old BMW is so slow
too. It's like, I don't know.
Well, I mean, it's the opposite of the M3.
Yeah.
Oh, it was fast in his time, but like,
or the race car
opposite,
or the race car.
Not even close.
Not even damn close.
Yeah. Man, you throw a tune and an intake on the dually, and it's probably as fast as this thing.
Well, the dually's faster.
The dually is a torque machine, dude. Exactly. That thing's got like 800 foot pounds or something. 850.
So this this is the I'm going for a cruise, but it's still nice. Like
it's a cars and coffee thing.
Yeah,
you know, take it to the weekenders
that is beautiful.
And it's something I hope that just appreciates. You know, it's not a car that I want to sit on forever, but it's the start of what I'm trying to do is like a collection, like an antique collection. You kind of flip and trade up. It's a beautiful car. It is fun to drive, but I'd have way more fun in my M3 than I would in that thing, you know.
As BMW goes towards larger and larger grills and electrification, your BMW fleet will only increase in value.
That's the way I see it too. And that beaver mouthed goddamn grill just looks awful. The semi-aquatic rodent, you know.
T-E-E-F.
Yeah.
So Ross had it. Was it an M440i recently?
M440i Grand Coupe. Oh,
like the new one?
Yeah, I drove it for a week. It was honestly, it was a great car. It just was, you don't like, you know, you walk away from the car and turn around and look at it. Like, yeah, and you walk away and you're like,
you're still following me? Stop following me.
Stop.
Don't scare me like that.
Yeah, but.
Dude, you didn't post pictures of it, the snow pick? Where'd you
send me that? No, not yet. I don't know. I probably sent it to you on Slack or something.
I haven't. I feel like BMW is crazy, though. And I was watching a commercial the other day, and it's like, lease a base model 330i xDrive for $560 a month.
$5,000.
I was like, what?
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
That's crazy.
Some people really want it.
You're on one. I'm not going to do that. Fuck that.
Speaking of BMW, did you see the new M2 Spy Shots has the diagonally stacked exhaust tips like the Lexus F models?
Oh. Well,
do they actually work? Because the Lexus
is going to be like two fake ones and a real one? Or?
The Lexus tips don't even, they're like, there's 4 inches of space between the actual exhaust outlets and the tips. But the new M2 Spy Shots, it's got almost like a super wing, and it's got the not full trapezoidal, but like weird shape thing going on. It's a do less kind of. Hopefully, it's just a decoy.
Yeah,
I told
myself I'd never sell that F80, but I have been eyeing that M2 comp for a while, and it just looks like an absolute blast.
Yeah,
Ross, don't you have that coming soon?
I have an M4 comp.
M4 comp. Is this the spy shot?
April. That's the spy shot. That's it. There's so much going on, man. It's like,
this is the M2 you're saying?
This is the new M2.
What?
Spy shot of the new M2.
So not only is the exhaust diagonal, they're center mounted. Like at least with the Lexus, they had them out on the end.
So if you stand there while the car's running trying to load shit into the trunk, you scorch yourself. It's gonna
blast your shins.
you know, hey, Mike, will you get my golf bag out of the trunk for me? Yeah, sure. Yeah. Man. Why is my leg bubbling?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I don't know. The F80s are cool. You know, the current ones are good. And the M2s have always been good. But this is like, stop drawing. Let the designers do less, you know.
How do you guys feel about the station wagons? Because I've always been a huge RS6 Avant fan.
Yeah.
We're big wagon fans.
With the V10, of course.
Yeah. I was saying to my wife yesterday that like the ultimate daily driver would be like an E63 AMGS wagon. You know,
I was going to ask you about that. Like if which one you would prefer. You
know, prefer the rear wheel drive, but the S has the toggle mode. So you can just basically decouple the front diff.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
Then all wheel drive for when you need it, rear wheel drive for when you need it.
It's the best of both worlds. That car is insanely overpriced though, isn't it? It's sitting at like 150, 160 or something.
It's yes.
The goddamn station wagon.
I always like the CLS wagon that we don't get, like the shooting brake that.
Oh, I know. Yeah. We miss out on a lot of cool stuff.
Was it a
M5? What do they call it? Not a state. Overseas, they call the M5 wagon. Oh, fuck.
Oh, yeah. That thing is gnarly.
I thought that didn't exist. It was like a museum piece.
There's a Touring, the M5 Touring.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I thought there were like a couple thousand of them.
There was definitely an E60 generation model. And I know there's a new M3 wagon that there were spy photos of too.
That would be sweet.
Yeah.
M5 Touring. Let's see what comes up.
That's just the dream. So yeah, we're big fans of wagons, big fans of hatches. So
no. Do you like the TTRS? I feel like it looks
better. Fuck yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh hell yeah. The TTRS 5-cylinder turbo. It's not to like.
Oh yeah.
600 horsepower with an intake and downpipe and a tune and an exhaust, like,
oh god damn. Yeah, see, that's something I can get behind too.
Yep.
I love a good wagon. There was I got a photo to share. I was walking the streets in Colorado and I saw a wagon and I was like, holy shit, look at that. And now of course my computer has gone dead. Like, it's worked great all night on looking up stuff fast as possible. But now, because I said I have something to share.
Is it an AMC Eagle?
It is not.
Damn.
It is. I would venture the least likely, not the least likely, but like it, as it goes, you would not have picked this to be the car that I'm going to share.
Dodge Magnum.
Oh, damn.
Always wanted to. Oh yes,
Volvo
V60 Polestar.
V60 Polestar, and it's legit Polestar. It was the badge on the front, Polestar badge, like the big one or the little blue one, and then the big one. Wheel
2,500 bucks worth of brakes on it. Yep.
Yes,
it's a good looking ride.
Yep. Yeah,
my favorite part. They're still underpowered though. They're still underpowered.
But like
they were 5-cylinder turbos until they weren't.
Yeah, snow everywhere. Not Blizz X. Like, park next to the Challenger.
That Challenger screams V6.
Yeah, it does. I freaking love being in the mountains, just seeing all the ridiculous stuff.
Those V60 Polestars are. I mean, I, you know, worked in a Volvo dealership, and those were always the highlight. You know,
well, because they're just, you don't see them.
They sound very good.
I do real fast. I need to give someone a shout out. I drove from Kansas City to Colorado, and somebody sent me a picture of my license plate as I was driving on I-70.
Is it your buddy Rick?
No, it was my buddy John. And then literally on the way home, I'm in a different part of Kansas. Not this, that, like, I saw him in Topeka the first time, a different part of Kansas. All of a sudden, white Camry pulls up next to me, rolls down the window, and starts honking at John again. I'm like, do you just live on the interstate? What are you doing? 6 days apart, bud. Like, what?
Anyway. So strange.
Thanks for entertaining me, John, on my 9-hour trip.
Who's this asshole? Oh,
yeah. Dude, actually, the first time it happened, he texted me the photo later, and I didn't get it because I was driving. And I was like, what? When did this happen? He was like, in Topeka. And I was like, were you the a-hole that got up behind me really close? That makes more sense now. I knew you.
Amazing. All right. So how's the rest of the season not the rest of the season, but how's the year looking?
It's looking good. Nitro hasn't officially released their calendar, but I have seen what they've proposed and it looks awesome. Be probably a dead even split between domestic races and races overseas.
Nice.
And with that, we're going to start doing the FC1X electric car.
That's right.
Cool. Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah, and that car is going to be an absolute maniac. I actually fly to Barcelona in April to do our media day and
nice.
Get a couple laps in the car. Mm-hmm. So I'll send you guys some videos so you can take a look at it.
Please do.
Yeah, it should be fun.
Is it going to be like a spec car that everybody just gets one? And
essentially, yeah. It's essentially a spec car with the rule book, you know, that allows you to – you can change whatever you want to a certain point. You can't really swap out electric or mechanical components.
Right.
But the idea is this is going to entice more manufacturers into the series and the sport because of their big electric push.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And these cars use very similar technology to what manufacturers use themselves. So right. There's a direct R&D crossover between our cars and what they can provide to consumers.
You just get half the weight.
Yeah, half the weight and awesome travel and carbon tubs and all kinds of cool stuff.
Was that a real video that we just saw? Because if so, it landed beautifully.
Yeah, it's...
Yeah, well, this is in action right here.
All right, that's
really
that's
cool. Car. It was actually the bodywork was designed by an engineer or a designer at McLaren, I believe.
Sounds about right.
That makes sense. And
yeah, in person, it's a damn stunning car.
Looking at like the comment on this video, Tanner comment, it looks awesome, and he's driving the Extreme electric McLaren. So
yeah, I'm sure he probably knows the guy.
Probably.
At least the name.
Yeah, we need to have him back on the show.
He didn't respond to the last email, so.
Well,
I'll reach out to him.
He's also busy. I'm pretty sure they're racing.
Oh, yeah, that dude's got so much on his schedule right now. He's been doing all kinds of stuff.
He's just flying his plane somewhere.
Great guy, though.
I loved having him on. He was great. Mm-hmm.
All right,
this thing looks awesome. I'm sorry. Really does. I'm not in more videos.
Dude, that it corners so sharp. This is going to be very interesting.
So
I think so. Yeah.
You still have the supercar category, but then this will be just a separate category.
Yeah. This will essentially be the premier class in Nitro.
Okay.
And combustion supercar will also be a class,
mm-hmm.
but not nearly as, you know, sought after in the eyes of the series and sponsors and whatnot. This is the premier class from now on.
Are they going to run same day?
Oh yeah, I'll be the same day.
So you're gonna run? Are you running both?
I've played with the idea, but obviously that's damn near twice the budget.
Right.
You know, true. Rough.
Why don't?
But twice the seat time. You really get what you pay for in that sense. So it's tough to say. I think I personally think the electric is the way forward on manufacturer roles and what these guys see as a value.
Mm-hmm.
And drivers specifically. So I still have to make my career doing awesome shit. So I'd like to, go where their heads are at and be specialized in what they want to do. So,
yeah.
But there's nothing like the ICE car. It's just, it'll always go down as the absolute legend of the machine.
Yeah.
Yep.
Do we need
always have an M3?
Just bring Polestar back in. Like, come on, guys.
I know there's no reason Volvo can't get in behind it. And again, the idea is to have a spec car, so to speak, for a couple of years. And as manufacturers come in, then eventually you can open up the rule book to allowing manufacturers to implement their own actual products into the car. And then you have like a true open class, almost old school Formula One style, you know.
Yeah.
Go and R&D and make things as badass as you possibly can.
Yep. Yeah. Free for all. Once again. That's awesome.
No, it'd be great.
We are looking forward to watching.
Yeah, I hope so, man. Y'all should try and make a race if you can.
Once we see a calendar.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Yeah, stay tuned. I think it's the next 5 to 10 days.
So Firm is Florida, right?
Yeah.
Firm is Florida.
Where's Glen Helen? Was that Arizona?
Glen Helen is in Southern California, San Bernardino County.
Okay.
And that will no longer be on the schedule, I don't think.
That stinks.
Yeah.
Too bad.
ERX is in Minneapolis. That's not too far.
ERX, yeah.
It's like 7 hours.
I've seen people drive farther.
7 hours from an airport.
No, they have their own airport. Actually, they have a great airport. Minneapolis is not that bad an airport.
I'd like to get a race out there in like Massachusetts, man. That'd be awesome.
Let's fucking do it.
Yeah, I got a bunch of family out there still, so I was like, that'd be awesome.
We could. I mean, I say we. I mean, you and
the freaking cover Lime Rock with dirt.
Oh my god,
I'm ready, man.
The downhill, a jump down the downhill of Lime Rock.
There's no reason you can't do it. That it would be tough for spectators, you know.
Yeah, that's. Yeah. I mean, Lime Rock's pretty small.
Fair.
Yeah, it is very small. But I was just also, it's the only track I knew of that might, other than like Bristol, because I put dirt on that already for NASCAR, but that's not rallycross style.
The Glen, Watkins Glen.
Yeah,
Glen. That's huge.
You know, I actually did a couple of corporate days for Toyota, releasing their CHR, which was a magnificent vehicle. And we did
that's a word for it.
We did it in Monticello.
Okay. Yeah.
Which is an awesome facility. So cool.
And they have an off-road course in the
And they have some amazing shit just stored away in their garages, dude. Yeah. Absolutely love.
Monticello is doing the private like golf club type thing now, where like you can basically buy a hangar, like a storage thing, and store your shit there.
Is that is that Chris Duplessis? Is he at Monticello?
Something like that.
I think he is.
Yeah, I think he's like a co something.
He was years ago. He was gonna bring. He had a rally car. And I was still teaching middle school at the time. And he was like, yeah, when I bring it back through the Midwest, we'll just stop and we'll let your kids pour over it. And it never happened. But like, I love that he offered. It was great.
Well, they have like a rally stage type thing at Monticello.
Yeah. I think that's definitely Chris Duplessis there. Yeah.
I don't think there's any reason. I mean, you got to talk to the owner, right? It is a private facility and it's so beautifully maintained too, but there's plenty of space to host a nitro event there. I just don't know if it would be an eyesore or not, you know.
Oh, if there's
massive mountains of dirt.
Yeah, they're not used to that.
That's like the most beautifully, it looks like a damn golf course, you know.
Yeah, it does.
That's they're going for golf course vibe.
Yeah, it looks a lot
which like they're doing a good job of it, you know.
What about Rally Ready down in Austin, Texas. I bet
Dave. I love Texas, Dave.
I bet Dave would shift some dirt around.
Dude, I watched that video.
100% be okay with doing that.
that video that came out this week is. I watched it again today. It is the most ridiculous thing, and it is perfect. Like that is Dave in a video.
It's Dave.
Yeah, that guy's a riot.
He is a legend.
Like, he actually taught me how to drive on the dirt.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So I went out to him and I was like, obviously growing up on a ranch, I was like, this is heaven, you know,
exactly.
You have a rally ranch, you know, what the hell?
Yep. Yep.
And I've been back a couple times since, but I'd love to go back and see it. Every time I go, there's something wildly different and upgraded, you know,
he's
got a crazy work ethic.
Just love that his skid loader has AC.
Yeah. I'm sure he loves that.
Texas, he does. I mean, shit.
That's his favorite thing to be in, I think.
I remember seeing him. He used to use like that old school grader out there when I was visiting him. I mean, when I first went there, like it was damn near just the farmhouse and a couple of things cut out, like a figure eight. You know, it was like fresh, bare bones. I think he'd been there a year, maybe.
Man,
yeah, come a long way.
I mean, we're coming up on 2 years since we had him on the show.
He's busy. I text every couple of 3 months to him.
Give him a call because I'm going to be in that area like 20 miles from there in April. So
he sends me dumb photos all the time. And I was just like, what are you, Dave? Just come on the show.
I know.
I miss you.
It always comes back to Dave. That's the theme of this show.
It does. he is kind of connected to a lot of people.
He fucking knows
that. He is, dude. He's really good at doing that.
Yeah. So. Well, sweet. Kevin, cool. Is there anything you want to plug?
I do have a couple sponsors. I got a list. I don't want to have a NASCAR list for you, but recently I've had some really good help from Diode Dynamics and Molecule. Diode Dynamics obviously doing some lights.
They've been
helping me with my 4Runner build and whatnot.
Hell yeah.
Molecule has always been my go-to like helmet and suit cleaner. And their detergent smells amazing. Unlike my sweat rag, you know. So they're a great company. They supported me for a long time. ButcherBox was our sponsor last year, and we hope to have them back, but they do that meat deliveries subscription. Yep. You know, they send me bacon all the time, which is rad.
They really do have the meats.
Yeah, they really do, man. They really do.
That's Arby's tagline, Ross.
No, we're repurposing it.
Okay. Also a Boston-based company, too. So it's like, that's good. I can get behind that.
No idea.
Yeah, yeah. And there's plenty more. The Berry is a company that we've been working with in Nitro, and they did a lot of our social media stuff. They do like augmented reality and really trippy videos, and two guys out of the UK, and they're just a blast to be around. So they're doing stuff pretty much exclusively for Nitro, but they've done some of our things in the past, but they're a fun time. Good guys.
Solid.
Yeah. And Stilo and Impact. You guys keep me safe.
Safe is good.
Safe is good.
Yep.
Well, sweet. I'm going to wrap it up. You can rate and review this show on Apple Podcasts or anywhere you listen to your podcast. We'll take a review anywhere. You can like and subscribe on YouTube. This might be an episode where it's better to watch than listen, just to kind of gauge how high the cars are in the air.
Or Spotify and do both.
Or Spotify and you can do both. Cabot is at Follow the Ham.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And then Hooniverse is The Hooniverse on Twitter, The Real Hooniverse on Instagram. Ross is No Not Like the One from Friends. I'm at Overlanding Dad, and I'm still using Ross's note sheet from the week before where he flipped these things, because normally I say check out all the writing first, but now I'm doing all these.
Oh, shit. I'm sorry.
It's fine. I will make sure to update the next one. You can read what we write on Hooniverse, UTV Driver, ATV Rider, Everyday Driver, and then US News and World Report. One of those things is not like the other. One of them doesn't end in
U.S. News and World Report. You just get more reporting.
Do that. I'll let the East Coast vibe out, because I've met a number of East Coast people that when things aren't supposed to end in ER, they put ER on the
end. Don't fucking get me started.
Well, sweet. Thank you, Kevin.
Oh, thank you guys for having me. It's been great.
Thanks for joining, man. A lot of fun.
Anytime.